www.thebeachcommunity.com.
Those are the words that we've, the passage that we've been dwelling on for the last couple of weeks in this mini-series. It's kind of a mini-series within a series called High Calling. We've been working through the book of Philippians, and this mini-series has been called our High Calling. And just to review where we've been, because it's pretty significant as we wrap that up this morning. Our High Calling, the concepts that we've been looking at is this. Our High Calling is this. First of all, holiness. Starts with holiness is the first aspect. Paul writes actually about righteousness, which is being declared right with God through our faith in Christ. That's where things start for us. Righteousness is something we are declared to be, but holiness is where that process leads to. Holiness is about becoming set apart, becoming distinct, becoming morally and spiritually excellent, okay? So righteousness ultimately leads to holiness. That's what the point is. So it starts with holiness, and that begins when we put our faith and trust in Christ. As Paul writes in the verses we just heard, that we need a righteousness from God that depends on faith in Jesus. And that, of course, leads us to holiness. So, first aspect is holiness. Second aspect is intimacy. Intimacy. Paul's aim is to know Jesus. And that's supposed to be our aim, too. Okay? It's possible, though, that, you know, we're called to an experiential and a relational connection with Jesus. That's what he wants from us in a personal way. But it's possible for many of us to know Jesus personally, and yet not really know him intimately. Okay? That is not what Paul is shooting for. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to know him intimately. To know him, Paul talks about knowing him and to know him in his power, the power of the resurrection, and in his sufferings. Okay? So, holiness first, intimacy is the second thing, godliness. That's the third part of our high calling. And godliness is this deep, unwavering devotion to the Lord. Right? That deep, unwavering devotion to the Lord, which, quite honestly, it only becomes evident to us when we've been through some things. When we go through some difficulties, when we go through some trials. That's when godliness is revealed in us and built in us. Paul says he wants us to become like him even in his death. Become like Jesus even in his death. Jesus was obedient to God the Father even though it cost him his life, and he went through this horrible ordeal on the cross. And in every circumstance, if we want to be godly, we want to be yielding ourselves to God in every circumstance, in every moment of our life, just like Jesus did. And so in that way, we're called to become like him even in his death. And then the last part is hope. The last aspect of our high calling is hope. Holiness, intimacy, godliness, and hope. And hope is pretty important because if we're going to go through difficulties, if we're going to go through trials and strive to be godly in them, strive to have this unwavering devotion to the Lord, it certainly helps to have some hope, right? And the hope that we are supposed to have is focused on our eternity with Jesus. Jesus, when he went through the cross, he saw the bigger picture. Right, he saw the cross that was in front of him. He knew it was going to be difficult, and he prayed, "God, the Father, prayed to the Father, God, if this thing can pass me by, I'm cool with that. Right, let it pass by if it can, but not my will, but your will." He still surrendered. He saw that the cross was going to be a very difficult, awful thing, but he looked beyond the cross because he saw the salvation that it would bring for you and me. And he saw that he would one day, that he would live again, that he would see the light of life. So he, even as he faced the cross, he saw beyond that moment of difficulty and found hope on the horizon. Okay, so we need to also be hopeful because we have this eternity with God. So four aspects of our high calling: holiness, intimacy, godliness, and hope. And if you happen to miss over the last couple of weeks, one of these weeks, I encourage you to just go back, listen to it on the podcast, and you can get a bit expanded picture of what these things are about. But these are the four things of our high calling as followers of Jesus. Now, if you've been tracking with this, there's probably one question maybe rattling around in your mind. Maybe you've just not thought about it much, but it's one question that we really haven't answered yet. Where does this idea of a high calling come from? Right? We look at these verses and it talks about these things, but where does this idea of us having a high calling come from? Well, we're going to see that this morning in the verses that we're going to be looking at in just a moment. They're in the verses that come right after this passage. Now, that may make you think, well, why are you waiting until the fourth week in this series to tell us about that? Right? Maybe because the flow of the passage, right? Like it comes after in the flow of the passage. Might be one possibility. Maybe I'm waiting because the message material is already way too long and don't really need more to cram in. You guys know that. Maybe I'm saving it for this big reveal this week. No, it's none of that. To be honest, the truth is I just forgot. Like, I was talking with Bob last week, and I went, yeah, this high calling in this passage is right after this, and oh my gosh, I never even stopped to point that out, right? In the whole, and I was so excited about diving into a series, this high calling, and the idea of growing closer to Christ and knowing Christ and the holiness, intimacy, godliness, hope. I was so excited about that, kind of forgot, like I put the cart before the horse and didn't realize it until last week. So now we're going to backtrack a little bit. And we're going to take a look at where this idea of a high calling comes from. And it comes from Philippians 3, verse 14. Again, in the verses right after. We're just going to look at this verse, kind of dive into that, and then we'll back up and cover the ones before it. So verse 14, if you're following along, Paul says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. This is where the idea of a high calling comes from. Now, this whole phrase in this whole sentence here, this whole phrase that Paul uses is really taken from imagery in like an Olympic-style games. The idea is there's this high-ranking official, maybe a king, maybe an authority figure, who would be seated in this high place, like an elevated place, place of honor and esteemed position, and it would always be near the finish line, and they'd be the ones holding that crown, holding the prize that was going to be awarded to the victor. Okay, that's what they were shooting for. And Paul says, I'm pressing on for the prize of the upward call, the goal of the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. That's the imagery here. But notice the word, that word upward, or that phrase upward call, the Greek word call. It refers to calling, but also to being summoned, right? Summoned. So we can think of it this way. Our high calling is a heavenly summons from God, right? Our high calling is a heavenly summons from God. Like these runners were being called or summoned towards the finish line. Now, we don't use the word summons a lot in our modern day language anymore. I mean, it's certainly a legitimate word, but oftentimes it's mostly used in legal terms, right? Like you're served a summons. People might receive a summons or a subpoena, which is an order given by a higher authority. If you've ever been summoned to court or you're expected to appear, right? It's given to you, you're expected to appear. Or if you've been subpoenaed to testify either on behalf of or against somebody, you're expected to be there. Well, we have an upward calling, a high calling, a heavenly summons, right? It's a call to holiness, a call to intimacy, a call to godliness, a call to hope. We've been summoned by the ultimate authority, God Himself, and He wants us to respond to it. He expects us to respond to it as followers of Jesus. So how does Paul respond to his heavenly summons, his high calling? Well, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 this morning and work our way through them. So if you want to look there, we're going to roll backwards and pick it up in verse 12. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Brothers, and when he says brothers here, it also is applicable to sisters. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So how does Paul respond to this heavenly summons? Well, first of all, Paul makes it clear that this high calling is something he has not yet attained. Right? He's still pursuing it. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Right? Paul is highly thought of by most followers in Jesus' day. He's generally respected as a leader and an authority in the church, but despite his reputation, despite his status, Paul says, look, I haven't attained it yet, right? And I'm not perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now, this is an interesting phrase in the Greek here. Instead of the words make and made, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Some translations use a word, other words to describe this, and I think it captures it great. It talks about being apprehended or laid hold of. Okay, so Paul is saying, look, I'm trying to apprehend that which apprehended me. I'm trying to lay hold of that which laid hold of me. And the picture here is similar to what Jesus talked about when he gave some parables about what the kingdom of heaven was like. Matthew 13, 44 through 46, he gives two parables. Jesus says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And the second parable he says is, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now in these parables that Jesus told, look, the man and the merchant, they were both looking for something extraordinary, right? And when they found it, when they found the treasure, when they found the pearl, it apprehended them, right? It laid a hold of them. It gripped them through and through, so much so that they would give up everything that they had to make that treasure and to make that pearl their own. And Paul is conveying this kind of compulsion. This is the kind of compulsion I have to pursue Jesus. And he wants us to have that same compulsion. Right? Just like Jesus apprehended Paul, Jesus has also apprehended us. He has captured us and gripped us so that we're pursuing him with everything that we are. He took hold of our heart, and now our heart's chasing after him. So that's the idea Paul is conveying here. In verse 13, again, he says, I do not consider that I have made this my own. Second time he says this, right? I don't consider that I had it. He's like, look, I'm still chasing after Jesus. There's a prize that I'm striving for, and I'm going after it with everything I've got. Now, look, Paul, just to be clear, Paul isn't unsure about his salvation here. Okay, he's not saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to get into heaven. I'm not sure if I'm really right with Jesus. He's not worried about that. But he's saying, look, I'm not taking anything for granted. Right? Even though I am confident of my salvation, I don't consider it a done deal. Right? I'm still striving to get there. And this is what he says, verse 13, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? I press on. Paul's response to this upward calling is to press on toward the goal. Now, this is also the second time he uses that phrase, press on. In the Greek, here, for press on, we translate, it's the word dioko, and it means to pursue, to aggressively chase after, or to hunt down something. To pursue, to chase after, or to hunt down. So deer hunting is going on this weekend, right? Didn't start this weekend? I'm not a hunter personally. Any deer hunters? Any? Couple? Couple here? Right? Hard to tell because no one came wearing blaze orange this morning. All right, no blaze orange. That's That's pretty good in church to have no blaze orange for a bunch of people in Wisconsin. So that's pretty impressive. I had a pastor friend of mine who always tells this story, joke around this weekend, and he says this, look, he has some land, and he invites people to come hunting on it all the time. But he always points out to them, look, there'd be no hunting on my land on Sunday morning. And the guys are like, well, why? Why not? And he's like, well, because the deer, they're all in church anyway, right? So there you go. And Paul says, look, the pursuit of Christ, it consumes him, it compels him. It's like he's hunting it down, right? He's trying to take a hold of Christ in this high call, but he hasn't attained it yet. So I'm still striving. I'm still chasing. I'm still hunting it down. Now the question is, when it comes to this high calling, this heavenly summons that God has extended and given us, have any of us attained it yet? I mean, have any of you attained holiness? Have any of you attained intimacy, like a serious intimacy with Jesus? Have any of you attained godliness in this deep, unwavering devotion to God? Have any of you attained a life of hope in Christ to the fullest extent of these things that you possibly can? Of course not. None of us have. Paul hadn't, and none of us have either. And spoiler alert, we never will this side of heaven, right? It's not going to happen, but we're still called to pursue that. We're still called to pursue that. So if you're like Paul, if you're like me, and you haven't attained it, then the question that we want to consider this morning is, does the pursuit of Christ consume you? Does the pursuit of Christ consume me like it consumed him? Right? Are you pressing on towards it? Are you chasing after it? Are you hunting it down? Am I doing the same? That's what Paul is calling us to, this pursuit of Christ. So how can we do that? Well, he said a little bit about that in verse 13. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. First of all, Paul says, look, we've got to forget what lies behind. Now remember, this is the imagery of a runner, right? A runner, a competitor in a game, an Olympic-style game. Could you imagine a runner having gotten partway through their race, halfway through their race, three-quarters of the way through their race, running, doing a good race, stopping and going, I just want to stop and look back and see how I've done so far. Right? I ran a really good race. Let me stop and just admire that for a minute. Let me just stop here. No, if they wanted to win the race, they would keep on going. They wouldn't stop. But it's so easy for us to get stuck in the past. We often get stuck in the past in regards to our spiritual journey, right? We see times in our life where we were walking really closely with Jesus. We have these fond memories of even maybe a better time in our spiritual journey, something more close, something more intimate. We can remember when we used to live really passionately for him. Maybe we think about how far we've come spiritually, and we feel pretty good about that. We look at a moment, that moment that we placed our faith and trust in Jesus, and we think, well, I'm good because I prayed that prayer I got baptized, right? So I'm like good with God. And we bank on something of the past in regards to our spiritual condition, but we're really not running anymore. Like we've stopped running the race and we look back and we've kind of checked out. We're not pressing on. We're not moving forward anymore. We're coasting. We're stuck, right? It's easy for us to get stuck in the past in regards to our spiritual journey. It's easy for us to get stuck in the past in regards to sin, right? We feel trapped because we made some mistakes in the past. There have been wrongs that we've done. There's sins we've committed. And even though we know we've been forgiven, we can't seem to get past them, right? Or we keep running back to these same things, these same mistakes, these same sins, even though we know God is calling us to something better. So we get stuck in the past in regards to our sin. It's also easy to get stuck in the past in regards to our pain. Right? Maybe someone that you have issues with who hurt you in the past. I mean, you've done your best to forgive them, but the pain still lingers. It's hard to let it go. Or maybe you don't want to let it go. We get stuck in the past in regards to these things. But Paul says, look, we've got to forget what lies behind. Forget about that. The past, in that sense, doesn't matter. Now, the Greek word that we translate forget, it means these three things: forget, overlook, or neglect. Forget, overlook, or neglect. It can be used in those contexts, which I think is pretty helpful because, let's face it, sometimes it's awful hard to really forget about the past. Like, to actually forget our past is pretty difficult because it lingers and it haunts us and sometimes it even taunts us. So maybe instead of just forgetting, maybe it's we need to overlook it. Right? We need to overlook it. Like, we know it's there. We know it's creeping up on us. We know it's taunting us, but we got to overlook that. Or we've got to neglect it. Right? We've just got to avoid interacting with that stuff. Here's an example. If you can't forget how badly someone hurt you, for instance, maybe then you need to overlook it. Right? Like, you're saying, I'm simply choosing not to hold this against that person anymore. Or when bitterness arises in you, maybe instead of overlooking it, you need to neglect it. Right? It's pulling at you. It's begging for your attention. It's welling up inside you, and it's hard to let that go. But instead of adding fuel to the fire and continuing to dwell on it, continuing to think on it, you neglect it. You neglect to give it fuel for the fire. You refuse to give it any more attention and remind yourself, look, I've forgiven that person. That's done. That's gone. You remind yourself there's no need to be consumed in your thoughts about that issue anymore. Okay, so Paul says, first of all, when it comes to our past, we need to forget, overlook, and neglect the things of the past. And you know, Paul does that even with the good things. The things that should have gotten him somewhere in this life. When he talked about all of the accomplishments he had, he's like, look, I count them as rubbish. I count it as garbage. Okay? You can't be focused on all that, he says. But instead, you have to strain forward for what lies ahead. Now, strain forward has a couple of meanings as well. Strain forward, stretch, reach out. Strain forward, stretch, or reach out. Reach out to what lies ahead. And to strain forward to what lies ahead means, again, you're stretching out to it. You aren't there yet, but you're reaching for it. That's your target. That's your goal. We know that sometimes our pain makes us gun shy, right? We don't want to risk getting hurt again, so we never try. We never trust. That's not stretching out. That's not straining forward. That's not pressing on. That's not where God wants us to be. So Paul says we have to forget the past, overlook, neglect it, and we have to strain forward, stretch, reach out to what lies ahead. And here's the thing. Those two things are like one thing, right? He says those are one thing. One thing I do, forget the past, stretch forward. Because we can't do one without the other. When it comes to this upward calling, we need to forget, overlook, or neglect what's in the past so we don't get stuck there, but we also need to be straining forward to what lies ahead, because if we aren't reaching for what God has in store for us, we'll never get there. Right? We won't be growing in our high calling. We won't grow in holiness and intimacy and godliness and hope. And here's, here's a part of the passage that I absolutely love. Paul, he gets a little bold right here at the end. And he says this in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. He is so confident in this spiritual reality that he basically says, look, if you don't agree with me about this, you don't agree with me about the need to pursue your upward call, your high calling, this heavenly summons of God in Christ, if you don't agree with me about this, don't worry. God will change your mind. Right? God will change your mind and show you I'm right. That's how confident he is about this. He says only, let us hold true to what we have attained. verse 16. So don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Stay the course. You chose this path. You've come this far. Now stay on it. Stay on it. Keep going. Live up to your faith. Hold true to your convictions. Keep pressing on. Keep moving forward in faith. And as I'm hearing all these words, I'm going, this is a lot of stuff. It's all good. It's very teachy. It's very, but what is it boiling down to? And I think that ultimately what he's boiling down to is this: keep focused, right? Keep focused. I want to show you, in regards to focus, I want to show you one of my favorite little movie clips. Actually, there's two clips and they're back to back, and for the sake of Rob, who's running them, when one's done, just flip right into the next one. They're from The Karate Kid, all right? Not the early Ralph Macchio Karate Kid, because there's no way he could really break those boards. I'm sorry, like little pencil-thin Ralph Macchio. The new Karate Kid, the Will Smith version. It's one of my favorite things having to do with focus. So let's take a look at these clips, and then we'll wrap up our time together. Great line. Your focus needs more focus, right? Isn't that true for every one of us, though, spiritually? Right? We have this high calling to know and pursue Jesus. We have a call to holiness. We have a call to intimacy, a call to godliness, a call to hope. And if we want to realize those things, we need to keep focused. And you know, I wanted to come up with something really clever to help us remember what focus is all about. So I asked Google, and there was only one thing I found that made sense in regard to our spiritual journeys, but I modified it a little bit. And keep focus, you can think of it this way: keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. I added the everyday part. It was only focus before. But keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. Of everything that Paul is trying to say, he's trying to tell us, hey, keep focused, keep after Jesus, keep pursuing Jesus. Listen to his words, and we can just insert that phrase right in the middle of it. I have not already obtained this, so I keep focused. I keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. And I am not already made perfect, so I keep focused. I keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. I press on to make it my own, and I keep focused. I keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own, I keep focused, following our Christ unto salvation every day. But one thing I do, I keep focused. Forgetting what lies behind, I keep focused. Straining toward what lies ahead, I keep focused. I keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I keep focused. I keep following our Christ unto salvation every day. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything, in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us keep focused, following our Christ unto salvation every day. And so just the question that I want to leave us with and pray about this morning is this: how's your focus? Right? How's your focus? Is it good? Is it really focused on Christ, or does your focus need more focus? You know, I can say that's true for me. We want to keep pursuing Jesus. And so let's focus in on that. Let's pray, and then we're going to close with a song of worship this morning. Father God, we know that we have tendencies that pull us away from following after you. And your desire is that we would keep our eyes fixed on you, that we would keep focused, keep following you until salvation. Keep following you every day. And God, we want our hearts to be bent in that direction. We want to be able to let go, to forget, to neglect, to overlook what is behind us. We want to be able to strain forward, to stretch out, to reach out to what you have in store for us ahead. But in order for that to happen, we need to keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to focus. Help us to keep following after you. And in those areas of our life that seem to get the best of us, that seem to get us off course, that seem to get us off track, we pray that you would give us strength to follow so that we could pursue our high calling, the call to holiness, the call to intimacy, the call to godliness, the call to hope. Be with us in this, we pray. In the name of Christ.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.